Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Well, here it is. In the celebration of Dr. Martin Luther King Day, parade marches and all the other stuff going on, he would not at all participate in neither one of them. I want to say welcome to the show. And this is a show about music and about love. If you don't love yourself, just go off the cliff.
Good evening, and welcome to the 35th Kennedy Center Honors, where once again, celebrates the richness and diversity of the performing arts. Our great poet, Ralph Waldo Emerson, said, "Congratulate yourselves if you have done something strange and extravagant and broken the monotony of a decorous age." Tonight, we salute honorees who, through their artistry and daring, have banished monotony and provided extravagant joy to audiences the world over. On the signature wall gone before. To this splendid company, we now add our class of 2012. With primal sound, at once beautiful and dangerous, these English lads built a band that earned from an admiring world a whole lot of love. A tall drink of water from Indiana who aspired to be Johnny and earned a late night throne for a guy named Dave. A Louisiana sharecropper's son who made his way to sweet home Chicago and became America's champion of the blues. A sparkling beauty from St. Petersburg, whose passion and elegance filled movement with meaning, giving new excitement to the words prima ballerina. As a graduate, a midnight cowboy, a little big man, a rain man, and even as a tootsie, this actor redefined the movie's idea of a leading man. These are our 2012 Kennedy Center honorees.
The Kennedy Center honorees, sponsored by Ally Bank. Your money needs an ally.
I first met Dustin at a party in 1968. I was his waiter. There was an instant connection when he said to me, "How's the flounder?" Dustin is a world-class, spectacular, colossal pain in the ass. Before Dustin burst on the scene, it was pretty much okay for movie stars to show up, read their lines, and, if the director insisted, act a little. And then Dustin came along. He made a statement that what the actor does is important, and it was inspiring. What Dustin did for all of us was to make it okay to be a character actor and a movie star. He broke the mold of the movie star as the handsome leading man. That's good news for all of us, even if it depresses the hell out of him. Dustin, you make me proud to be an actor, and I'm proud to be your friend.
Art puts a face on it. See, it makes us feel it. It makes us understand it. We're flawed. We're human.
With me?
And I think the artist is the person who is going by his gut and damn the torpedoes.
I'm walking here.
Growing up in Southern California, he felt like the odd man out. He'd look up at the sky and feel lost. Then he stumbled into an acting class. And the pieces fit. He lit out for New York and the theater with all the fury of a man possessed. 10 years of classes and auditions, scrounging and playing Turgenev off Broadway.
I was starting to get something that had an authenticity for me. I was creating characters that I felt, oh, I'm learning.
Then a call out of the blue.
13 Baker, take 1, sound 67.
Mike Nichols asked him to test for a role that had been written for a tall, blonde wasp.
I don't want to do it. I don't think I'm right for it.
Oh, God.
You were sleeping, Ross?
Up. Oh, no, I'm just a little worried about my future. Mrs. Robinson, you're trying to seduce me. Aren't you?
With one movie, a new kind of star was born. One foolish and brave enough to risk his fame to play characters who go against the grain.
I'm scared. What are you scared of?
You know what they do to you when they know you can't. When they find out that you can't walk. Oh, Christ.
A door inched open in American movies, and Dustin slipped through. The actor with the everyman's face who embodied the heartbreakingly human.
Is that some orange juice?
Orange juice, right. Right, one of OJ coming up. What a kid.
For that character, Dustin found it in Dustin Hoffman.
Ladies and gentlemen, Billy Connolly.
Dustin persuaded director Sidney Pollack to let him stage an improvised acting class taught by his character. In the scene, the perennial out-of-work actor conducts an acting class for other perennially out-of-work actors.
You gotta work. There's no excuse for not working.
Ladies and gentlemen, Liev Schreiber.
There's no excuse for not working. There's unemployment. It's never going to change. You're an actor. You're in New York City. There's no work, but you got to find ways to work.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dustin says it's so tough to have this ego and not be able to work.
A writer can write, a painter can paint, but what can an actor do?
Well, he pays other actors to be the audience and calls it a club.
The first time I saw Dustin in action, I was 14 years old. A friend slipped me a suspicious-looking VHS tape whispering the two magic words every 14-year-old boy longs to hear.
Dirty movie.
I waited till my mother was asleep to play it. I was very, excited. The movie was Midnight Cowboy. It turned out to be a completely magical experience for me. Not the magical experience I was expecting or hoping for, but it did change my life. I'd never seen anyone create characters like that before. So incredibly lifelike and detailed, and yet still somehow something more than real. I had to do that. I had to act like Dustin Hoffman. Not just me, all of us. You and Ratso Rizzo redefined acting for a new generation forever.
It was one of the great acting experiences of my life. About 15 years ago, I got a call, and I was asked to meet Dustin Hoffman for a film that he was directing. I wasn't allowed to read the script in advance, so I felt completely unprepared to meet the master. So I had my 30-minute slot. I was there for 5 hours, but that's Dustin. And for the first hour, all I could do was worry. What did he want? What was the movie about? Would I be right for the character? Would my car get towed? But finally, I settled down and I read some scenes. And he hovered over me with his smoky voice and his laser instinct.
Good, that's good. Be more specific. Just go with the text, no choices for now. That's good. Try it again.
What I learned in those few hours with Dustin was possibly more value to me than a lifetime of acting classes. In a sense, it was the most important audition of my life. I didn't get the part, but a few years later, my dream came true, and I did get to work with Dustin Hoffman in I Heart Huckabees. Dustin, I hope you know, I heart Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman doesn't rewrite Shakespeare, despite what everyone says. It was my honor to be directed by Dustin in Quartet, and I can tell you that as a director, he gives his actors everything he wants for himself. It's no surprise he's a great director. He's been directing himself for years. In Quartet, I was miscast terribly as a gentleman getting on in years. Yes, quite a stretch. So I asked Dustin for some tips on how to play an older person. He told me, beware of involuntary noises. Never miss a chance to have a pee. Hum non-existent tunes all through dinner. And most importantly, don't forget to stick out your tongue when the soup spoon's only halfway to your face. For Dustin, it just comes down to doing it properly. That's what Dustin does, and it comes out perfect. Always.
Critics have noted that Dustin's very physical appearance changes with each role.
Each one a mirror to the soul of the artist.
It's true. And it's perhaps why we've grown accustomed to his face.
No matter what the role, he almost makes the day begin.
We've come to know him so well. It's as if we've grown accustomed to the tune that he whistles night and noon.
His smile.
Independent and content before we met.
Happy Martin Luther King Day. Take chances to participate if you can on Monday.
She was touring with Russia's fabulous Kirov Ballet. She knew she needed new choreography to fulfill her promise as a dancer. So she made the brave decision to make a new life in the West, where she would thrill audiences and enhance and enrich American ballet theater. When I first saw Natalia, I remember saying, now that's a ballerina. She was absolutely precise. She refers to it as harnessing my body when it rebels like an unbroken horse. Natalia, your passion and your artistry are loved around the world. On behalf of dancers everywhere, bravo.
Ballerina means to bring into ideal balance the physical possibilities of your body with the possibilities of your soul.
To dance for Natasha means to turn her body into the soul of the character she becomes.
Well, we are just doing a little something, really, appreciation of everybody, if you don't mind. And if you don't mind, to understand, to love.
Yeah, I can't believe
this DQ 5-buck lunch comes. Oh, excuse me. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Dairy Queen.
It's barbecue season at DQ with the new KC Barbecue Bacon Cheeseburger.
With another part of yourself. That was a very interesting draw for young women, too.
I think Jimmy Page really invented that image of the almighty rock guitar player.
The cloud of mystique that shadowed the band grew with the news of Jimmy Page's interest in Aleister Crowley, an early 20th century Englishman aligned with black magic and demonology. Page's fascination with Crowley led many to believe he was into black magic himself.
I think he was absolutely fascinated with the man and the knowledge of the will. He owned a lot of manuscripts, and he bought the Inverness Castle. That was also Crowley's. And I think with it, he had purchased a lot of manuscripts. And at one point, he had a bookstore in England, an occult bookstore. And he was really more fascinated by the knowledge of it.
It was a sincere fascination, and I think he took a lot out of it, and I think it came through in his music, a lot of that amazing depth and, you know, mystery and all that came out in his music. He was very interested in those types of things, otherworldly things. You know, that selling the soul to the devil, that's just bullshit. None of that took place. None of it.
I mean, the whole myth about sending their soul to the devil, we want you to cut your hand in blood, we want you to make a pact, you're going to be a wreck. Oh, fuck off, put the fucking devil in your shit, get out of here, you know, he just wouldn't, what the hell are you talking about? I mean, it just wouldn't happen.
Despite the truckloads of money that were now pouring in, whenever Led Zeppelin was in Los Angeles, they chose to stay at the relatively luxury-free Continental Hyatt House on the Sunset Strip.
We, of course, could have stayed anywhere without the money that we had, but we just preferred that hotel.
They always used to rent the whole top of the Hyatt House for one...
And here's most famous speech. Change the world, people. Obama, thank you for 8 years for what you tried to do. It has nothing to compare with Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm calling from a place most people live their whole lives trying to get to. I'm calling from the promised land, Snellville, Georgia.
Dr. Martin Luther King,
J.R. And before we go to that...
And I've seen